Okay, once again, we'd like to turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. And looking at the Christian life as it is illustrated in the book of 1 John, and it is illustrated throughout the book. We've been looking at verses 5 through verse 1 of chapter 2. And the subject of these verses is found in verses 5 through verse 7, which is walking in the light. In the Christian life, that's exactly what it is. It is walking in the light. Notice, we'll read verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there, light is used to describe the nature of God. It is a declaration that God is impeccable. God is sinless. We see that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Again, the at all is added for emphasis. If we, you and I that profess to be saved, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now that's very plain. There's no way that someone who wants to understand does not understand what that's saying. Very, very plain. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So we see not only is God light, but God is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. So verse 6 tells us that if we're going to have fellowship, we can't walk in darkness. The only way you can have fellowship with God is to walk where he is. And that is to walk in the light. People all the time will try to convince you and I that though they're living in darkness, that they talk with God every day. No, they don't. Because verse 6 says they lie and do not the truth. You cannot live in darkness and have fellowship with God at the same time. It's an impossibility. Verse 7 again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Again, we've got to be in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now we saw last week that in order to walk in the light, when the day you and I were saved, there was a change in our domain. We see before salvation, the Bible teaches us that we were in darkness. Not only that we were, that is that darkness was our domain. Darkness was where we lived. Not only were we in that darkness, but the Bible tells us that we were covered. We were full of darkness. In other words, it had an effect upon our entire life. It had an effect upon our entire being. And we also loved the darkness. We were in the darkness. We were full of darkness. And we loved darkness. We liked living in that domain. As a result, we walked in the darkness. We sat in darkness. And the Bible even says we were darkness. That is, we became darkness. We became our domain. But at salvation, something happened. A change took place. Not only an outward and an inward change, but there was a transfer. There was a transfer from darkness to light. In other words, there was a change in domain. That's true of everyone who is saved. You cannot walk in light and live in darkness. It's not possible. And today, there are many who have never been transferred from the darkness to the light. And they make a profession of salvation, and they're trying to walk in light, but you can't. You don't live there. You still live in darkness. A transfer has to take place. Notice in the book of Colossians, again, this is review from last week, but in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, which is the effect of darkness. We have been delivered from the effect, from the power, from the working of darkness, and hath translated us, transferred us, into the kingdom of his own Son. Then notice in 1 Peter, book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into. Two very, very important phrases. Out of, into. Out of, into. That's true of anyone who's been saved. They have come out of something. They have entered into something. But there is a group of people today that want you to know, want you to believe, that they are saved even though they've never come out of and never have entered into. But they're saved. But the Bible says they're not. There has to be a transfer. There has to be a coming out of darkness into his marvelous light. And not only does the individual who comes out of darkness into light, not only do they see a difference, and not only do they feel a difference. I mean, if you come out of darkness and walk into light, you see a difference, but you also feel a difference. People who will say, well, I'm saved, but I don't feel any different. Well, you're not saved then. Salvation, there is a feeling, a difference. And again, we're not saying that salvation is based on feelings, but I want you to know there is feelings in salvation. This whole philosophy today that salvation is not based on feeling, and it's not, but we've gone too far in that. We've almost dismissed feeling altogether. But when I was saved, I felt something. And anybody that's ever been saved has felt something as well. They've been released. You can't help but feel something. So there has been a transfer has taken place. And all of this leads us to our point that we will now live in a different way. There has been a change of domain. And now we're going to live in a different way. The reason people do not live in a different way is because there has not been a change in their domain. You say, well, they say they were saved. People can say anything. And people that are around church long enough, they learn the language. They know what to say. They know how to say it. They know how to convince you, but their life is what tells the true story. So there has to be a change of domain. And then this change of domain leads to a change in our way of living. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, if we turn there, Romans 6 verse 4, this is what it means to walk in the light. In the latter part of that verse, it says, even so we also should walk in newness of life. At salvation, our life was made new. At salvation, we received something that we never had before. And now we are to walk in newness of life. Newness of life is indicative of a change. It indicates that there again has been a change in our realm of living, in our domain. There has been a change in the way we live. There has been a change in our manner of living. Newness of life. That means we now live life according to new principles. One who is saved has new principles. You no longer want to live according to the old principles. You have a new set of principles. Now, when the Lord saved me, I didn't even want to defend the old principles. I don't, there's nothing to defend there. they're wrong. The Lord has given us new principles to live by. He's given us new motives for living. We now, it's everything about this life is new. We have new principles. We have a new motive. We have new objects. We live for a different reason. We have new emotions. I mean, a saved person has emotions that they never have when they're lost. There's new emotions. There's new hopes. We have hope that we never had before. There's also, of course, new possessions. We have things that we never had. Everything about this life is new. So if everything about this life is new, then why do people who profess to have this life still live the old way? It's because they do not possess the new life. There has not been this change of domain, which leads to a change in the way we live. So to walk in newness of life, the Bible tells us in Micah 6 and verse 8, that God requires us to walk humbly with God. And that's what it is to walk in the light. God is in the light. If you're going to walk with God, you have to walk in the light because that's where he is. That's where he walks with his people. And we are to walk humbly with God. That's the only way you can walk with God is humbly. You cannot walk proudly with God. As soon as you begin to have pride in your heart, fellowship has been broken. So there has to be a humble walk with God. It is a walking after the Spirit. Notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, again, another very plain verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And people like to stop right there, but it doesn't stop there. He's now going to identify those who are in Christ Jesus. How do you know if a person is in Christ Jesus? Do you just go by what they say? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is a characteristic. That is the characteristic of someone who is in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit, or they walk in the Spirit. So we're to walk in newness of life. Walking in newness of life is walking following the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 2 tells us that we're to walk in love. This is part of that newness of life. We're to walk circumspectly, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Again, when we lived in darkness, we walked carelessly. Now we live in light, we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk very carefully. We're to walk worthy of the Lord. That is, we're to show forth the worth and the praise and the glory and the honor of the Lord. We're to walk in wisdom, Colossians 4 and verse 5. We're to walk pleasing to God. It is the desire of a saved person to do that which pleases God. It breaks the heart of a saved person to displease the Lord. It affects them. It affects them when they displease the Lord. If you're saved, the Spirit of God indwells you, and when you do that which displeases the God, the Spirit of God convicts. And we can't be happy. A child of God cannot be happy living in a way that's displeasing the Lord. It's not possible. Because the Spirit of God is always there to prick that heart and makes us miserable. And then, of course, in 1 John 2 and verse 6, if we turn there, 1 John 2 and verse 6, talking about this walking in newness of life. He that saith, again, you can say anything. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. This newness of life is to walk as Christ walked, to pattern our life after Jesus Christ. This is what it means to walk in the light. To walk in the light basically is holiness. To walk in the light is to live a holy life. There are a lot of misconceptions today concerning holiness. I believe holiness is the impression and workmanship of God in our hearts. It is God impressing upon us. It is God working within. It is a heart in devotion to God. You cannot possibly be holy if you're not devoted to God. It is devotion to God. It is consecration to God. It is to be separated and consecrated to God. That's what holiness is. That's what sanctification is. Things were considered holy in the Old Testament. That is, they were considered separate and set apart for the use of God. That's holiness. And when a person today tries to live as worldly as they possibly can and still maintain fellowship with God, it doesn't work that way. It never has worked that way. There has to be a separation and a consecration to God. That's why it's very troubling when someone who professes to be saved is always trying to defend a worldly lifestyle. A child of God should have no desire to defend a worldly lifestyle, let alone to live a worldly lifestyle. I realize we all fall and we all slip and we slip into the ways of the world more than we'd like to think. But there's a big difference between slipping into the world and backsliding, and then there's a difference between that and trying to defend it. When a person begins to try and defend sin, you've got to wonder if God is working at all in their heart. If there's ever been that transfer. Holiness is being of one mind with God. To walk in light is to have fellowship with God. Fellowship is oneness. Fellowship is togetherness. It means that we begin to have the same mind of God. We begin to think like God. We're in agreement with God. Again, Amos 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? In order to fellowship with God, you have to be in agreement with God. And you cannot be in agreement with God if you're in darkness, because he's in light. So you can only be in agreement with God as you walk in the light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So in order to be in agreement with God, you have to be in the light. So walking in the light is holiness. Holiness means that we have a very decided bent toward God. That's what it is to walk in the light. Our bent is not toward the world, but our bent should be toward God. If someone's bent is always consistently toward the world, there's a problem. There is a very serious problem. So those who walk in the light, their bent is toward God. That is, there's a desire to do God's will. I believe every saved person has within their heart a desire to please God, a desire to do God's will, a desire to be in the very will of God. And I believe every child of God, without exception, has a fear of displeasing the Lord. So to walk in the light is holiness. That is our privilege. That is the life that we are privileged to live. That is the life that we have the opportunity to live. That is the life that we are responsible to live. So walk in the light. To walk in the light as he is in the light, again, is to be under the impression of holiness. It is living in the reality of who God is. Again, we see in 1 John that God is in the light, and we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. And when we do that, we have fellowship with one another. And that's a very important word, one with another. Fellowship is never one-sided. There's always two sides of fellowship. You can't have fellowship unless there's fellowship on both sides. And that's the problem today. Many want to have fellowship with God. They'll say, well, I talk to God. Does God talk to you? And you see, if there's fellowship, if God talks to you, and you ask a person, does God talk to you? Oh, yeah, he talks to me. Do you listen? Because if you're listening, you can't be walking in darkness. That's fellowship. Fellowship's not just one person talking. Fellowship also involves one person listening. So there has to be, this has to be one with another. So there's the, walking in the light means that God is real. God is real to us. It's very easy. It's very easy today to learn all the theology. Learn what it is that we're supposed to believe, what we're expected to believe. It's very easy to learn all of those things. And to some degree, even practice some of those things. But there's a huge difference between knowing some things that the Bible says and knowing God. A huge difference. It's a huge difference in knowing some things, knowing some truths, and between that and God being real in your life. We can sit back and we can say, oh, we believe God is sovereign, he's omnipotent, he's this, he's that. And we may know those things and we may believe those things. But it doesn't have a real effect upon our lives until it's real. And that's what it is to walk in the light. And you'll notice here in 1 John, there doesn't seem to be anything in between light and darkness. You're in one or the other. You either walk and live in darkness, and you walk where you live. You walk where you live. You can't walk where you don't live. And you can't walk in light if you live in darkness. If you live in darkness, you can only walk in darkness. If you live in light, you walk in light. That's our privilege today, is to walk in the light. Next week we'll look at some of the results of walking in the light. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls, and we thank you, Lord, for the life that